Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Waridduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilizing the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Waridduddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. With Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Alhamdulillah, all praises due to Almighty God. Allah, we begin with Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer. I bear witness there is no God save Allah alone, and that there's nothing worthy of worship or praise except Almighty God, Allah. Highly praised be He. Welcome to the Airways of America Muslim 360. This is the broadcast entitled Keeping It Real. It is hosted by our beloved Lou Princess Aziz. Unfortunately, she is not with us at this time. while I'm sitting in for her, I trust that everything is all right with her and that she is in good health, good company, and that she is safe. Praise be to Allah. I am Kareem Hamid, the radio station manager for America and the Muslim 360. In place of our beloved sister Lou Princess Aziz, I want to share with you the commentary of Imam Warithuddin Muhammad on the subject matter, the need for reform, the need for reform. And after the conclusion of this address, then we shall transition to the broadcast, the contemplations of Imam Warithuddin Muhammad, hosted by yours truly, Kareem Hamid, Sister Mahasan Abdul Salam, and Michael Hamid, inshallah. So we ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while. The need for reform.
Allahu Akbar. We praise God. And we witness that he is one and cares about all of us, all people, all nations, all the worlds. And we witness that the final revelation, the Quran, is revealed to Muhammad, and he's a message, a messenger to all the people of the earth, and he's a mercy to all people and a mercy to all the worlds. We appreciate this opportunity to address the radio audience and to be here on this first Sunday of the year and this first day of the year. And I wish all of you all a happy new year and a very prosperous new year. We hope that the year we are in now will be better than the year that just went out. And I believe it will be for all of us. We're addressing the need for reform. The future that we are facing is going to bring about more demand for reform, more support for reform. Reform for public education in the United States of America, but also reform for almost everything that we have been supported by. Everything almost that we have been supported by. This is a new world we're living in. It's a new time and a new world. The world was once having one-sidedness, just seeing one way, and was not respecting the whole people or the whole population of this planet Earth. It was moving very selfishly in the direction of what it wanted and ignoring justice. Before 1945, the world had no, quote, institution, end quote, or legal organization whereby a nation threatened by another nation could take its complaints and be heard. A Catholic peace-building movement publishes a magazine titled Living City. One of this featured article says, after 60 years, the United Nations will be facing a demand for more serious reform. Public education in the United States, the natural environment, respecting the natural environment for the good of the environment itself, but also to save human life on this planet. Shrinking fuel supplies, poverty, and starvation are all on the world scene and on the agenda of conscious nations. At home in our big and small cities, reform is becoming the more precious, the more pressing issue. Feeling and perception also needs reforming. How we feel about things and how we perceive or understand things. Communities must support efforts to reform popular thinking and attitudes. Emotions are too high. Human intelligence will be approached in the future more directly. People will be demanded to use their brains more and respect intelligence and respect intelligent behavior. As the world tries to keep its old habit of dancing and singing troubles away, the world gets more messy. Morals become more confused and human abuses more horrifying. Think of human bodies as a human body. Think of the human body that it is a vehicle, you know, like an automobile, a truck, or whatever, a motor vehicle. Think of the human body as a motor vehicle. Now, I know when I was young, I wanted to drive, long before I was of age to drive. I used to ride in the car with senior or older brothers in the temple who had cars. They called temple back then, the place of worship. And I'd sit there and I'd be imagining myself under the wheel. And my father, sometimes, occasionally, he would try to take us in his car, and I was there imagining myself under the wheel. I got the opportunity to drive a truck long before I was of age. This brother asked me, I was about 14 years old, he said, would you like to go with me and make some extra money? I said, yes. So I went with him. He had a nice truck, like maybe a two-ton truck. That's the way I remember it. I think, looking at it with my eyes now, I think it's probably about 2.5 ton maybe. And he would load it, overload it, with what we call junk. And he would take the junk to the junkyard. And he would sell glass. He'd sell metal he'd pick up, and he would pick up a lot of paper and cardboard. He would sell that and rags, old rags. And once we were driving along, I think it was 43rd Street, and he said, would you like to try it? I said, yes. So he pulled over and stopped, and I got under the wheel. And believe me, I drove well the first time under the wheel because I had been driving all the time. Imagining myself in the driver's seat all the time. So it wasn't difficult. I just followed what I was observing. I did the same thing. And I had to get used to everything. But I even measured spaces, you know. While the other driver was driving, I would imagine the space he could get through and the spaces he could not get through. So I drove that truck. And seeing all these vehicles now on the road, and some of the people that's in them, they passed, they got their license, but really, they shouldn't be behind the wheel. Some of them look like they're trying to hit me, and I'm dodging them, and look like they're trying to follow me to hit me. I don't know, this is really an unconscious world, a world that's got a spirit controlling it. Most of the people are controlled by a spirit that's not intelligent. It's not the spirit that came from good parents. It's not the spirit that came from good teaching, education. No. It's not the spirit that comes from the individual's good thinking. It's another spirit. And that spirit is really causing us a lot. So we're going to have to reform our spirit. We have to reform our spirit. And we can reform our spirit. All you have to do is reform the way you think. Reform the way you think and everything will change for the better. As the Bible says and as the philosopher said before the Bible had it, a philosopher said, as a man thinketh, so is he. And the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And the Quran says, think, for surely thinking will profit you. Yes, think. And W.E.B. Du Bois says that our political leader, and well, really, he started the NAACP. He was the one to start what we call now the NAACP. He said, our people will progress in the measure that we are willing to teach our children to think. Think. I remember parents correcting us. Hey, you better use your head. You better think. Yeah, they would insist that we think. Behavior without thought is blind behavior. And a lot of good habit is acceptable, but crazy habit is not. Imagine now, your car or a truck, a motor vehicle, and you're going down the street, flying down the street at the speed limit or above. You have no brakes. Your steering doesn't work. You grab the wheel and it doesn't work. It won't turn your left or right. No brakes and no steering. You wouldn't drive a vehicle like that. But many of us live like that. No brakes. No steering. In fact, when we see the danger, instead of turning left to get out of the way of it, we persist in just going headlong the same way. So we are having a spirit and a behavior that's reckless. At-risk behavior. Terribly at-risk behavior. We need to reform it. And we got to reform it. We don't have homes anymore, the majority of us, that represent intelligent guidance for us. And it's not because it's not wanted in those homes. It's because the world scene, and for most of us, I'm speaking of right now, in these towns and cities that I mentioned earlier, the world scene is a street scene. The behavior in the streets, the attitudes in the streets, the things that attract your attention, you who are in the streets, the songs you listen to, the music you like, the movies you like. And by the way, we need to reform our mind so that our minds will come up from being so low down.
Yeah. Come on.
It's a shame that I can't find hardly a decent movie in some of these African Americans' neighborhoods, some of the black neighborhoods. I can't find a decent movie. And I got really fed up, and I was getting a little angry. I said, I'm going to approach the management. And something told me, no, don't bother the management. The management is only showing what they will support. And I recall watching a nice movie on the weekend. Nice movie. Hardly nobody there watching it. But me and my little son, my son, and maybe two or three other people. And I recall being alone, just with my son. And whoever was with us, sometimes I have someone else with us. Now my wife is with us when we go, half the time that we go. She's not a habitual movie goer like we are. My son and I, we don't know anything to do when we get off of work. We say, oh, a movie. A restaurant and a movie.
That's it.
We were watching this movie, and it come to my mind, ain't nobody here. And after it happened several times that we were watching a nice, great class, high class movie, nobody there but us, then it registered on my mind. Our people don't support movies like this. The average one in these African-American neighborhoods, they don't support class. They don't support culture. They don't support quality. All they want to see is violence and sex. Violence and sex. They get the big crowds, the movies. They have a lot of violence and a lot of sex. They get the big crowds. They're decent movies that will feed your mind and help you get your life straight or help you keep your life straight. Nobody wants to see those. So I've given up really appealing to those people of minds like that, whether young or old, whether it's our youngsters, our teenagers or old. My address to you on this day and every day I speak every first Sunday of live broadcast of the radio broadcast. My interest is reaching those who care about life, not those who have given up on it. Those who care about life, because they can't help themselves and they can't help you. If they could help themselves, they wouldn't be in that condition. And if we could help them, they'd be here listening to us. They have no interest in what we are saying. They have no less interest in anything but what got them, what's holding them. Vulgarity, violence, love for vulgarity and love for crime. Crime. That's a crime to treat yourself that way. It's a crime to treat your life the way you treat your life. And we want the conscious ones that are in our hearing range, in the radio audience and here at this facility. We want the conscious ones to register more the hurt on society, the hurt on human life. Think about it more and register it more so you will do more about it.
Yes.
They can't help themselves. Spiritually, they're dead.
Right.
Morally, they're dead.
Right.
So how can you raise the dead if they insist upon living in the graveyard? And the big cities, they make more and more room for you. Right. If you want to live in the graveyard, they'll turn over some more land to you to increase the area for the dead. Oh, yeah. They ain't running out of no space when it comes to accommodating the dead. You want to die and go 6 feet under, they're ready for you. Got plenty of land, more. If your graveyard in your area is filling up, they got plenty of land available. They'll accommodate you if you want to go down in the grave, the grave of moral decay. Moral rot. We have to reform the behavior. We can save those who are conscious. If the best help that a conscious person needs and the help that helps them the most is just to know that there's somebody else conscious. And we want you out there in the radio audience that are conscious, still alive morally, still respect things of importance, still care about human life and human suffering. We want you to know that we are alive with you, and we want us all to be together. Let us be together, one spirit. God has made us one spirit, and God has made us one life, human life and human spirit. And if you are in human life and like to remain human, you have human spirit.
That's right.
So we are one and the same. And I'm thankful to God, as we say thankful to Allah, Muslims say thankful to Allah, that we still have conscious people on this earth who will not give in to the pressure to go 6 feet under. And there are plenty of pressure out there to go 6 feet under.
Right.
Plenty of it. Not much help to keep your life in a good condition, but a lot of help if you want to destroy your life. you know, I was thinking on the subject of reform, and an old song, words from an old song came to my mind. It goes like this. I'm going to change the way I walk. I'm going to change the way I talk.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, I said to myself, whoever wrote that song, it put something together. Because walking and talking are developments that come almost at the same time in the life of human beings. Walking and talking. Usually the child that's walking can talk a little bit too. And if they're talking, usually he's walking too. So walking and talking like twins, you know, in the developmental progress of human life. They come around the same time, walking and talking. And this world, with its bad influences, and I say this world, I mean the corrupt world, the unconscious world, or I should say maybe the satanic world, that not out to help human life, but out just to exploit human life, to profit, to make money at the risk of human life. That world reaches us with its influences, and it changes the way we think. First, it changes the way we think. Then it changes the way we feel.
That's right.
Because if the way you think changes, then you're open to feel differently too.
That's right.
So it changes first the way we think. Then it changes the way we feel. Then it changes the way we behave.
Yeah.
And when the thinking changes, it's expressed in the language. The talk changes. And you know, this, I don't know how this world managed to be so quick. I know I read in the Bible that says one beast has eyes all over him. And I took that to mean spies. That bad society beast has spies everywhere.
Yeah.
And mix among them and let me know what's happening, what the mood changes are.
Yeah.
Let me know what the trends are or what you see developing. So they'll find a youngster. They'll find a youngster walking down the street and he has went off from the norm. He's left the old behavior, and he's indicating that he got another spirit in him and a different behavior.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be wearing his clothes hanging off his butt.
Right.
And he'd say, okay, there are a lot of them out there like him, or they're ready to be like him. Let's put him on TV.
Yeah, that's right. Come on.
And we're gonna sell a lot of baggy clothes hanging off the butt.
That's right.
Now, why am I saying this to you out there? Because I believe there's some good conscious ones out there that's going around with your clothes hanging off your butt.
That's right.
That tells the world that cares nothing about human life, cares more about money than anything, that tells that commercial mind in the world that you are one of them. Or you are one of their customers. Potential or buying already. So let us be conscious and let us fight the world that takes us down and support the world that lifts life up. That's what we have to do. And this is an effort to reform the way you think. And as I said, if we can reform the way you think, I should say we think, we can reform the way we behave.
That's right.
Because your thinking, your behavior doesn't change until your thinking changes. I'm sure you recall being at home with your parents and some child, member of the family, sometimes a distant one, a close one, or outsider may be in the house. Because our parents, some of them, they don't care who's in the house. If you behave in an unconscious way, if you display ignorance and vulgar behavior, mm-hmm. they'll correct you. They don't care who you are.
That's right.
They say, hey, this is my house.
That's right.
And they're correct. So they would see someone behaving that way, and they would say, what's gotten into your mind?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what they would say?
Yes,
what's gotten into your mind?
Right.
Now, they weren't no psychologists, but they knew, common sense told them, if you're behaving differently, something has gotten into your mind.
All right, right.
So a lot of us, we think, oh, I know they bad, but you got to love them. Love them. Come on, honey. I love you anyway, honey. Come on, give me a hug. You should be giving the right cross. Right cross. Muhammad Ali or whoever the popular fighter is now, right cross, knock them flat on their back, and that'll be love. But saying, come and give me a hug, that's saying, I like you just as you are. You don't have to change for me. You ain't bothering me with your bad behavior. I like you just as you are. No, we don't. That's not like, that's not love. That's abuse. You're abusing them with that kind of treatment. Yes. And, you know, if you're conscious, you benefit from everything good. And when you're unconscious, morally, spiritually, when you're unconscious, you are susceptible, you are vulnerable, you're open to everything bad. You lose everything. So we are a people who value human life. Your bad behavior hurts our feelings. The way you treat yourselves pains us right in our hearts. But we are not going to go to the grave with you.
There it is. Right.
We're going to work with the best of us. And hope that one day our influence in our areas where we live, in our neighborhoods, will be bigger than the influence of those who don't care about anything but money.
Right.
Or will push everything, every other important issue off the desk if it hurts their money. They just want to keep the money coming, big. And they are responsible for all the misery we are seeing now.
Right.
Not only in the streets, but in our homes. They are responsible.
Right.
This much damage could not be done to us if it was not for television.
There it is.
Television now brings what's happening from all over the world right into your living room. And you can't be there all the time. You don't know what your children are watching and what they're not watching. So you got corruption having free access, free entry, and that's bad. And what are you going to do? You can't go crazy. I know I won't. I insist upon being sane and reasonable. You can't go crazy and say, "Hey, I'll beat you to death if you keep watching that." No, you can't do that. So they insist that they're going to watch that stuff, and they're teenagers. They're going to school. You can't beat them to death. You can just keep talking to them and try to reason with them. That's all you can do. And some of us, we do that and we lose them. They go out of our house. Pretty soon they don't want to stay with us because we irritate them. So they want to stay with somebody else. So they leave us and go stay with somebody else. And pretty soon we find out that they have left the life. The good life.
That's right.
And they have joined those who waste life, destroy life. But we only can do our best and have faith that eventually good wins out. Eventually God takes over. We can only go so far with Satan. And after a while, God will say, I will take charge of this matter. And then God brings his judgment. And the whole world begins to change. People on high that tolerated their abuse of freedom. Freedom to make money at any cost. Freedom to take over the culture. And make it nothing but a culture for dollars. A culture to produce dollars. Yes? That's almost what our culture is now in the streets.
Right.
And on television. It's a culture to produce dollars.
Right.
But there come a time eventually that the high ups in government, the high ups in church, and church life, and for us, religion, our Muslim life, the high up get fed up too. God put in them the spirit. Say, hey, this has gone too far.
That's right. All right.
It has to be checked.
Yes. Right.
So high up in religion, in Christianity, I mean world Christianity, Christianity not just here in America, Christianity in Europe, Christianity everywhere, the high ups, they meet and they say, hey, something got to be done about this. It's got to be checked. Gone too far. And they express themselves and high ups in government hear of their concern. And those that have the same fear and the same concern in high places in government, they meet with those of the religious establishment.
Right.
Now, I'm talking as though this is something that could happen.
Yeah, come on. Right.
Or something that has happened.
Yeah.
But really, what I'm viewing in my mind right now is what's happening at this particular time. So don't think that everything is lost.
Mm-hmm.
No. We have people in high government positions and people in high religious positions, church position, mosque position, synagogue position. We have people in high places with influence and with money.
That's right.
And power.
Yes.
We have people who have looked at this ugly scene, this ugly life scene, and the public just going to the graveyard.
Right.
And they've said, let them go on their own. But we have to stop those who are profiting on their bad behavior.
That's right.
So privileges that have been given, immoral money makers, is being taken away from them.
Right.
And it won't be long. I think you can see the sign of it in the movie theaters now. You're getting movies that's coming out that's addressing moral issues.
Yes.
More movies are coming out now that address moral issues. More movies that are coming out now that address the forces of good and evil.
Yes.
How they are in conflict and in battle with each other.
Yes.
More movies are coming out that tells us that the influence of those persons or people in high places are reaching even the industry, the movie industry.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see it much or hear it much in the record business, the recording industry for records and songs and stuff like that, music. We don't see it much, but it's there. It's coming. It's growing there too. And pretty soon, the rapper, don't you know we have good rappers? They're good rappers. There are plenty of good rappers. But you don't see them, they didn't see them in that period. They're still on us, but it's going away. It's a thing of the past.
Right.
That spirit when the vulgar guy is welcome.
Right.
The nasty mouth guy is welcome.
Right. Right.
And the clean mouth guy, we don't want you.
Right.
There's nothing for you to do.
Yeah.
Why don't you go back and get it together again?
Right.
You know? Nothing for him, and he really got what helps. He got medicine and healing and sweet stuff and good stuff.
Yes.
And the other guy got poison.
Yes.
Hmm? That's all he got, poison. Drugs in the form of music and song. That's what he got. The time is changing. It's time for reform. Now, you who are Muslims in the audience, and remember the days of the Nation of Islam under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And there are many of you who never became Muslims, but you appreciated the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's work for the black people.
Yes. Right.
Or for the African Americans. Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, if I would describe him in just one statement, I would say he was a man who wanted to dignify the life of his people. And that kind of work, when you look at the whole life and you want to make it more respectful, more respectable, and more respectful, you are looking at it with the eyes of a reformer. You want to reform the life. You remember Carter G. Woodson?
Yes, sir.
We celebrate him every February, Black History Month.
That's right.
He wrote a book challenging us to take on the responsibility ourselves for educating our children.
Right.
And he said, he took the position that the way we were being educated by the public system was really miseducation. Miseducation. And he was correct. It has changed a lot since his time. A lot. In fact, it's completely new scene. It's not the same scene that Carter G. Woodson was looking at. But it still has a long ways to go yet.
Right.
It still needs more reforming. And I'm not saying this. It's the educators and the conscious teachers and also higher education and the institutions of higher education. They are saying it also that we have to reform our system of education.
Right.
The textbooks,
right.
They still need more correction and more corrections and our reforming. We need to form the way they are composed or the way the writers perceive knowledge and education.
Mm-hmm.
So the time is here and it's going to bring about a good change for the better.
Yes.
And I'm optimistic. I see a good future coming. I think the sickness has reached its course, and a healing time is here. Yes, the healing time is here, and life is going to be beautiful. Also, I want to say to the young people here in the audience that we have to reform the way we see old people. You know, human progress on this earth has been made more and better because the old folks deposited what they had of value from their learning and experiences.
Yes.
into the ears and heads of the young. And during that period of time, behind us, a long ways behind us, some of us still do it, but very few. During that period of time, youngsters didn't look at old people and say, oh, I have nothing to do with them, and they have nothing to do with me. No. They felt a strong bond, child and adult. A strong bond. They felt a dependency.
Right.
And even the rebellious ones, those that were of bad behavior, they had some respect for elders,
right.
Some respect for senior citizens, some respect for old folks. But all of that was destroyed too with this new popular culture that took over. Yes? All that was lost. Also, adults, you have to reform the way you see the young people.
Right.
I hear them saying, oh, well, you know, they're just young. And they don't add, and they don't know. You stop doing that. But I remember the time when you said, both. Oh, they just young. They don't know. They have learned so much, you don't say they don't know anymore. Oh, you know, they know. They know more than the average one of us, that's for sure. Especially about this world and life out there. Yes. But we have to change the way we look. We have to change and reform. Change, reform, same. We have to reform the way we look at it.
As-salamu alaykum. Praise be to Allah. That was the voice of Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad addressing the need for reform. Praise be to Allah. That address is just as relevant now, matter of fact, more so now than when he delivered that address, the need for reform, to reform how we think and how we judge matters. And praise be to Allah, he mentioned that praise be to Almighty God, there are still human beings that are conscious, that have the same desires that we have concerning moral excellence. And although we may not be in physical touch with each other, but we make our presence known that we are with you, and we applaud you, and we are one body bringing about reform. I'm going to now transition for the upcoming broadcast, The Contemplations of Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad. I see our host is with us now, Brother Michael Hameen. I shall turn the broadcast over to him, and inshallah, no, let me play a public service announcement, and he and I, we switched places, praise be to Allah. He entered the host queue. So get prepared for the contemplations of Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad Rahim Alayhi. I leave you with the greetings of peace of As-Salaamu Alaykum.
Peace be with you and welcome to Positive Solutions to Critical Issues, hosted by yours truly, Dr. Jamal Rashid and instructor Henry Hasid. This program is sociologically as well as psychologically inclined, with Fitzer as its base. We examine the root seed to multiple effects that impact our holistic daily lives. So tune in each and every Thursday morning from 7 to 8 Eastern Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. Thank you and have a pleasant day.
As-salamu alaykum, and welcome to Contemplations of Imam W.D. Muhammad, radiallahu anhu, and Allah. pleased with him. And we are happy to see you with us for Contemplations of Imam W.D. Muhammad. We'll be reading from the Ramadan Session, Book 1, page 98. And why is the Quran revealed in Arabic? And what we want to do is, first of all, meet our co-host, Sister Mahasan Abdul Salam and the Imam Kareem Ahali. Welcome to you both. Thank you for joining us. And we are ready to begin this evening presentation of Contemplation of Imam W.D. Muhammad, Ramadan Session 1. The date was 1993, March the 12th. Little Rock, Arkansas was the place, and we'll begin.
Wa alaikum as-salam, Brother Michael.
Wa alaikum as-salam,
yes.
Brother Michael.
We're all set, and I'm raring to go.
We can tell. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, we'd like to also extend the greeting back to you, I would, and welcome all of our listeners joining us to pursue the information and delve more deeply into those contemplations as Imam Muhammad was consistent in inviting us to do. So I'm ready as you get started this evening. And welcome to you, Brother Kareem, too. I'm happy to hear your voice.
Wa alaikum as-salam. I want to share with the listening audience and make a request of us as believers that we offer supplication and dua for our fellow citizens in the state of Hawaii on the island of Maui for their tragic loss of life and property. May Allah restore them back to to their full strength. And we pray that Allah forgive the sins of those that died in that terrible fire and grant them the home in a paradise. Amen.
Alhamdulillah. Amen.
Amen. Yes.
And Brother Michael, maybe we can also give a heads up as we welcome our listeners to their inclination to press 1 to bring them into the queue if they perceive something that they would like to share or a reflection that's important to them about what we're reading. And we'd like for that to happen particularly after the PSA, the public service announcement time, and be patient with us as you bring them into the queue and open their mic. Thank you so much. This is a group experience, and we welcome you.
Yes. All right. We're going to begin now. Can you hear me okay? I'm working with the
equipment. You're very clear.
Okay,
you
are very clear about it. Very clear. So we're going to begin. Why is Quran revealed in Arabic? Why is the sun called she? Why was the Quran revealed in Arabic? Because Arabic already, in its form, is perfectly suited for the revelation. There's no sex connotation in the use of these pronouns. No sex message comes with the use of the pronouns hua and hia, because the inanimate things are also called hua and hia. And there is no such thing as a neuter gender in Arabic. The world outside of the organic world, outside of man's world, technically speaking, then it is it. And if you use he or she, it's not standard language. It's poetic. But in Arabic, it's standard language to call everything he or she. So the Shams is here. And Allah chose this Arabic language and he revealed it in the Arabic language, which tells us something. The Arabic language has been given a special place in the revelation of the Quran. An Arabic person has not. Nothing is made over the Arab, but it is made over the Arabic language. That's my logic for presenting my explanation for the Hiya. This language was perfectly suited for communicating the Quran, so this Hiya that should not be changed, it should be understood. And all Arabs say the Shams is Hiya. They don't say Hua. If you say Hua, they say, what's wrong with you, man? Do you speak Arabic? The real light, man's world, is social light. The next topic. The reason for it is this, that light is really the social light. The real light of man's world is social light. That's why it says, quote, and he revealed it on his heart. And that's why the gospel is in red. What Jesus said is in red. Jesus Christ being born from a mother and not from a man. Blood, son, social life. All this is the same. What lights man's world? The social urge lights man's world. The social urge, the social drive. We won't get anything out of the material world before we become a society. Man alone, by himself, he doesn't want anything out of the earth. He just eats something off a tree or kills an animal and just keeps going. That's what he did. But when he forms a society now, he wants to develop. So to develop the community, the land he occupies, he needs to learn something about it. Consequently, the social need, urge, that sends the man to the material. Next topic, mother is the social symbol. So we look at the Kaaba, the house, and we say, Allahu Akbar, and go into ruku. In sajda, we say, Allah forgive me. We don't say, Sami Allahu liman hamida. We say, Allah forgive us. Because that's where man sins. When he goes down to get the treasures out of the earth, then he sins. He comes up the first time and says, Allah, forgive me, and goes back down again to be reborn. When he comes up for the second time, he doesn't say, Allah, forgive me. He says, Allahu Akbar. And stands up again. Really, man is not a material creature. Man is a social creature, essentially, a social creature. And his enlightenment depends on his social nature. To stand like the house is standing, he has to construct his social life. When he constructs his social life, now, his social life directs him to the resources in his environment. The second step is the development of the natural resources. But the first step is to stand up fully erect in his social nature. So the son should be here. Why? Because mother is the social symbol. We are socialized under mother. Chamer, the moon, it's made ua, because it is man that has to go out in the field and risk the dangers of the field, because he's eaten up everything around the house. Now he's got to keep venturing out to keep supplying mama in the house. So he's the one that has to have some light, even before enlightenment, in the dark. He made the sun stand still. Next topic. He made the sun stand still, so they had nothing but day. He saw people that the sun did not go down on. They had no time to rest. They had no night in which to rest. And Allah said, suppose he denied you a night in which to rest, just kept you under the sun all the time. We have to understand promise of a resurrection or a future that God will give us, where there will be no setting of the sun. It has to be understood in a different language and different context in the language. For the efforts of man in his intellect, man has to have rest. It'll drive him crazy if he has to just keep straining his brain. Allah blesses him with answers to the questions of his mind, and then he has a rest. He can rest then, rest in his victory, rest in his completion of his work, in his achievements. He has a rest in his comforts that he derives from his efforts. He has to rest. Next focus, the blessed night is the night of enlightenment. Condition, this promised condition where we will have no setting of the sun, it means actually a decline or death, because it's used in two ways. The night is good and the night in ignorance or in death is bad. But the night in faith is good. The night in faith and trust is a beautiful night. In Laylatul Qadr, the night is the gift of revelation, but also the blessing of achieving the establishment of a just and faith-secured society is a night. A blessing in that society of people won't be secured by light or by knowledge. They'll be secured by trust. Knowledge secures us. Trust can secure us. So that's the blessed night, the night of enlightenment, once we achieve the establishment of the society we want on this earth. The night of security against harm or threat from our brother, sister, neighbors. The night of trust, faith. Next focus. No decline or death for the creativity in the intellect. The promised condition of the world where the sun won't set, it means that there will be no decline or death for the creativity in the intellect. It'll always be going, illumined, always be shining. But it doesn't mean we will not have rest. We will have the night of faith and trust, the night of security for home, the security of no harm from each other. We'll have that night that will enable us to get good rest. And it's also trust. When you have trust, you also have the security of your possessions, your comfort. Don't have trust between each other. Your own comforts are threatened. They come and take them away. Next focus. Ashams, the sun. Imam Abdul Karim Hassan just brought to my attention that the translation that we have in the previous Qurans that we received by the Yusuf Ali reads differently. He chose to use it, and that's better, and that's the way I would do it. I would use it. I wouldn't use the she or he, because in English they carry a sex message. The third one, third ayah says, quote, by the day as it shows up the sun's glory, unquote. Now you see, he intends to satisfy the Western world's language. Here's proof he intended it, because he uses it. When you come away from the symbol sun and moon now, he uses it. And I believe it was Saudi Arabia that did that too. Good God Almighty, they think they know, but they don't. What I mean is they think they know how to help us here, the English-speaking people, to Islam, and they don't. Read the commentary and see if the commentary agrees with the translation. The commentary for verses 1 through 6, and then it gives the commentary for verses 7 through 8 and explains, says, quote, the soul of man with internal order and proportion in its capacities and faculties as made by Allah, is appealed to as having been endowed with power of discriminating between right and wrong, unquote. Then the conclusion is stated, quote, endowed with the power of discriminating between right and wrong. Wouldn't it be better if he gave that as a translation for that? Next focus. Discriminate between right and wrong. It is the taqwa and the fujur together that gives man the power to discriminate between right and wrong. You can have all taqwa and no enlightenment. Still, you are lost. You are in bad shape. I won't say in bad shape. You are in bad. You are in bad shape for the future of man on earth. You can't produce something yet. To wait for you to get something else besides taqwa, quote, and its inspiration as to its right and it's wrong, unquote. In the commentary, it says the power of discriminating between right and wrong. I would have liked that very much if he would have just said, quote, power, unquote. If he sees that as just the taqwa and the fujura, I mean, he sees that discrimination as the Al-Hamaha, and he sees the Fujur. Obviously, he's translated Fujur as the wrong and the Taqwa as the right. Truly, he succeeds that purifies it, unquote. That's 9. Now read commentary. That man's success or failure, prosperity or bankruptcy will depend upon him keeping that soul pure. if fujur is wrong in man, it was already corrupt. He says it depends upon him keeping it pure, which in his own language, his knowledge, is that it's pure. Keeping it pure or corrupting it. Let's now go back to, he brought that to my attention, so we should know we do have it translated as, quote, it, unquote, and not as she, by Abdullah Yusuf Ali. The next focus, day for vision. Quote from the Quran, by the day and as it shows up it, unquote, or, quote, the sun's glory, unquote. It's important to know that Allah says in the Quran about the Nahr, that he made the day for vision and livelihood activities, and that we readily see. And that's the meaning. The understanding to have that we need the day for perception, vision, in the environment that we occupy and for our works, our activities that we have to carry on. And it's the same for other creatures as it is for us. Most of them, except for the night creatures, when the sun comes up, they can see. So they're awakened and they go about their work, their livelihood, and live their life. We live our life in the day and sleep at night, rest at night. Quote from the Quran, by the day as it shows up. Jalaha, I think the term expression is shows up, unquote. I think he means the day accommodates the glory of the sun. But actually, the Nah and the Jalla, if I were to translate it, I see Nah as being the day, and the day covers the whole day. It's the progression into brightness. So we see the day in its whole progression, starting from dim light to the brightest light, and then the light starts to go away. But once it starts to be evening, we begin to talk about evening. So that part of the day where light is moving and visibility is good, that's what we're talking about, Nahr. Jalaha is when it becomes glorious, when the day becomes glorious, the day itself becomes glorious or magnificent. There's another word for it, too. That's what it means. It means beautiful, attractive, impressive. All those attributes can be Jalla. If you see a queen and she's dressed up in her queen's outfit, the jewels and everything is perfectly placed and everything, and the garment so rich in its appearance and everything, Jalla would be the right word to use for that. And it should be bright. It shouldn't be dark clothing. Bright clothing, fancy, rich-looking clothing. That's the Jalla. So when the day is like that, then that's the Jalla. I would think of the natural environment when the beautiful plants, flowers, and abundance of life, like the garden of paradise almost, I would think that would be the day when it becomes glowing, glorious. And that's what it says about the day. I don't think it's necessary to talk about it any further. And the night, Quranic quote, by the night as it conceals it. And we know that this Yaksha is a covering, a cover from the same root covering, the noun form. So he says, quote, the night as it conceals it, unquote. Let's stop here just for a few seconds. If we're talking about the beautiful night that man wants on this earth for him to rest in, then the concealing here is something good, isn't it? But if we're talking about the night of falsehood, then it's not good. However, here it's talking about it could be either. The condition for the soul depends on his soul. He gets the good. If he doesn't, he gets the bad. This night here can be the bad night, and also it can be the bad day. So if the day is a bad day, then the cover for that day will be falsehood that allows you to sleep after you've been sinful, because falsehood will make you believe you're right. So you can sleep with the cover that the sinful world gives you. You rest in that night. So in that case, the day and the night were bad. But let's say that the day is good. This is a good day. So what is the rest we get? The night we get behind a good day that Allah wants us to have, the rest of humility, and the humility makes a man not show off his knowledge. You don't see his sun shining. That's what enables us to rest on this earth. When our arrogant-minded people, rulers, when they humble themselves and feel comfortable without shining their light in order to shine, it needs to produce something or work. It's a tool. It is not supposed to be showing it off. The day is for activity. Okay? You're not working. Stop bragging. Shut up your mouth. And let's rest in light that is not going to draw too much attention, or it is supposed to be a star. And it's so far away until we have to look. Say, here I am.
Michael?
I have to look up there. Yes, sir.
Yes, you missed a sentence where the day is for activity.
Okay. Okay, I see. Yes. Okay. Pardon me. The day is for activity. Okay, you're not working. Stop bragging. Shut up your mouth. And let's rest. And let's rest in brotherhood. Time to be showing light in the nighttime. It's supposed to be moonlight. And that's the kind of light that is not going to draw too much attention. Or it's supposed to be a star. And it's so far away until we have to, look. Say, here I am. I have to look up there and find him. So that way we can rest. You see, that's the rest. So I believe what we should get out of this is that God blesses man with the illumination of his soul into his intellect, and he makes possible the enlightenment of the society. But he, man, shouldn't show this off. He should step down to the level of the common man so that the society can have rest. Now, don't think of time intervals. We're not talking about time intervals, because this will cause us to have some problems we think of in terms of conditions, or states of mind. So man can't order his society to be regulated by and disciplined by his level of understanding and knowledge. It's too high. It's too much. It'll be too much of a burden on the people. It'll be like that sun never setting, the bad method for the sun that never sets, shining on the people all the time. We're going to stop here and take a public service announcement break, and we'll be back after these messages.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Family, community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you, the individual, you. What is the character of you? Are you a book? Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you in all of us. I am Martha Naila Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., be there.
And we're back with more contemplations of Imam W.D. Muhammad. This particular focus this afternoon is the 1993 Ramadan session from Little Rock, Arkansas. And we are I need a little help here. I lost my plate. My place. Can I get a little
help? You're in 101?
Yes.
And you're
okay, the real,
right
the
above
real destiny.
The real destiny, yeah.
Yes,
and
yes.
Are
okay.
We going to accept comments at this time?
Yes, I was just about to announce that. We invite the audience to press 1 to come into the queue. Some of you pressed earlier. Press the 1 on the dial to let us know that you wish to make a comment or question. And we invite you to do so at this time. The material is very thought-provoking, and we'd like to hear your thoughts on the material that we're focusing on and how you're relating to it. Okay, the next presentation is, the next focus is the real destiny.
Okay. Are there any ones in the queue?
No, not at all.
All right.
Would
Inshallah.
You or Brother Kareem like to make a comment?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
Alhamdulillah. Very, very, very thought-provoking, the reading thus far. And I find the explanation about the chant, Ashant the Sun.
Yeah.
The consideration that Imam Muhammad has shed, the light that he has shed, and the social motivation that it brings in his explanation. But I don't want to get into a deep reflection or analysis, just to say that his comments, the power of language, the power of understanding the Arabic, is really highlighted to me in his explanation. And it reinforces the concept that as he encouraged us, and Abdullah encourages not to be afraid to study the Arabic and acquire the capacity of the language. Inshallah, we'll have a good teacher, instructor, who can reveal or show us how to determine the different levels of the Arabic word, you know, that we go into the dictionary about, or that we understand as we pursue and better grasp the grammar, the grammatic rules and everything. So you can see what occurs to me is the depth of understanding, not just on the surface level that Arabic provides, but how it simultaneously can take you beneath and take one thinking beneath the surface. And it just reminds me of the power of something that Imam Muhammad continue to tell us as an encouragement, that definition is direction and guide. The more we understand the meaning, that direction and guidance is right there for the human being on a level that the human being can grasp and activate for himself. They have to think. I encourage our listener to access these two volumes for themselves. So even as we read it as a group, they have resources where they can read it over and over and gather more and enrich our lives, expand our capacity understanding. I'll stop right there.
Yes,
you have
Kareem?
Yes, sir. I would like to speak to the principle that's being introduced in this language and in this communication with us, where you shared with us from the Imam sharing, he is saying we are not talking about time intervals, because this will cause us to have some problems we think of in terms of condition, in terms of conditions or state of mind. He goes to a further explanation of the condition and the state of mind that the presence of the sun continuously negatively affects the condition and the state of the mind. The conditions for who? The state of the mind for who? The state of the mind of the common people, of the common people. Imam goes forward, he says, so man can't order his society to be regulated by and disciplined by his level of understanding and knowledge. It's too high. It's too much. It'll be too much of a burden on the people. It'll be like that sun never setting. The bad method for the sun that never sets, shining on the people all the time. I refer to our beloved Prophet Muhammad, we pray the prayers and the peace upon him. Everyone that came in contact with him marveled at his intellect, marveled at his understanding.
But at the same time, the Prophet Muhammad, with his high understanding, the light shining bright, he did not miss an opportunity to get down on the level of the common person and speak with them in their common language and involve himself in their common life and their common desires, in their common desires. We live in a system whereby we are reminded consistently of the expertise and the prowess of those that are over us, that are over this society. But we don't see, they don't share their common human essence. Like, in other words, I am you and you are me. So no matter how your light shines, I'm comfortable with you because you are not behaving arrogantly. You are involved in my common life and my common concerns and my common desires. That is the night of rest that the Imam is speaking of, the sun and the moon. We feel comfortable with one that is enlightened, but still has enough humanity to connect with the common man, the common person. He said it's too much. It'll be too much of a burden on the people. It'll be like that sun never setting. The bad method for the sun that never sets, shining on the people all the time. We're consistently reminded of what we are not, of what we are not, and what those with enlightenment are. So I'll just stop right there, my brother. And let me say this, Imam Muhammad, what endeared us to him is that he was us, you know. No, he is us.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'll stop right there. Thank you.
Thank
and the
you.
Value,
yes.
The value of shura bainahum. That's an Arabic word, but it's critical in the operation, the community level of operation where the common believers are invited to participate discussions where they probe for solutions to the common needs that they share.
That is why we invite our listening audience, please don't feel separated from this process. You are definitely invited to share your thinking and common criteria on what we are delivering. We strongly suggest and ask for your participation. Excuse me, Mahasan, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, you didn't. Thank you so much. Perfect.
Praise to Allah. Yes, alhamdulillah, Rabbi al-Alameen. The praise and thanks are due to Allah, God and Evolver, cherisher, sustainer of all systems of knowledge. And I'm seeing this in the light of the social obligation. And Imam Muhammad, with his fresh perception of the Quran, he shared with us the obligation of professional men and women, plumbers, stenographers, female participants in the law, men and women who utilize their intellectual sensitivities and their social sensitivities with an awareness of the obligation to help the everyday man and woman, to help the common, if you will, the common man and woman to understand language, because the professional men and women are translating the language that is the light for social progress. They're translating this language in a way that will help the everyday brother and sister be more productive. And they acknowledge that as an obligation on themselves, you know, because Allah has favored them to have professional insight. Yes. And also, look at the invitation to take out the sensitivity connotations of language seen in terms of male and female by recognizing the structure of the Quranic Arabic, that everything is a masculine or feminine. Everything. You have hua for the masculine and hiya for the feminine, but it's not connected to sex. It's not sexually connected to male and female. It's connected to form and function. And this develops in us a logic. This helps us to see more logically and less emotionally. You know, it takes those things that can make us moody by affecting our feelings. So the masculine and the feminine, that everything in Arabic, in the Quranic Arabic, is described as masculine or feminine. This helps us in the way of developing a logical view of Allah's creation. And I'll stop there. So if you like to press one, praise be to Allah. Press one to come into the conversation. We'd like to hear your thoughts, your reflections on what we've shared thus far. We're reading from the Volume 1, and I understand Volume 3. I got a notification from Imam Ronald Shaheed that Volume 3 is ready for your purchase. And let me see. If you will call, him, you can leave a message. You can leave a message on his, you can text him or leave a message on his phone.
Answering service.
Yes, the answering service. And he will respond to you in terms of helping you to get, his number is 414-349-2278. And we'll repeat that later on in the program. We've got about better than an hour left in our programming this evening. And the focus that we're returning to is the real destiny. He has to come down to the level of the common man. Yes. And then order his society upon the nature and excellence of the common man, so that the society then can live in faith and trust that they like. And that's the real destiny. So though we need the light to get to the destiny, the real destiny is to bring about the conditions where man will not be exalting himself over the people, and he will not be securing the society with wisdom, knowledge, or science, but he will secure the society upon the basis that every man is equally capable of being decent and fair by each other and being trustworthy. That's the simple answer for society, and that's what Allah says. The very clear and simple matters they overlook, and go after something big and complicated. However, the society should have been ordered. Yes.
Michael, if I may, and you have heard me say this before, sometimes a problem is placed before community or society of people, and a problem seems to be very complex, very intricate, and very complex. But the answer can be very simple and basic.
Yes.
And sometimes the answer is rejected because it is not as complicated, complex as the situation placed before the people. The answer can be very simple, very few words. I'll stop right there, my brother.
I agree. And we see a caller in the queue. We're going to open up your line. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from. Welcome.
Yeah, assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Muhammad from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad, by the way, of Columbus, Georgia. And like
you alaikum assalam.
Walaikum assalam, my brother. Good to hear from you as always. And thank Allah for always being on the queue. I wanted to come in earlier, but I had another phone call I had to get off on. But anyway, the social reality that Imam, by Allah's permission, is guiding us to, is making us understand that Allah created a social environment that will relieve the whole world, all of the history that we know and all of the present that we know, but we have to come out of it and be the type of people that will only do what Allah permits. And we know that is halal. And halal doesn't mean just meat. It means that the whole life is a life that only does what Allah permits and has prescribed for the human family since Adam. It just wasn't something overnight. This is since Adam. But we have to come to the enlightenment, self-enlightenment. But we got the knowledge. We've been born over knowledge for years and years and years. Alhamdulillah for Allah favoring us with these opportunities. They turned the light on again. I think the light was turned on in 1996. By Imam Muhammad, and we still haven't seen the light of the guidance that Allah is sending through him, through the Quran, to realize that we're going to have this social society, this model community, this excellent community, a moral community, etc. It's not going to discriminate against nobody. But people have free will. And like Imam was saying earlier today on 360 this morning, I think it was, that, you know, they have made their choice, and they may come around again, only Allah knows. But he's given the family, said that, you know, just say, I prefer for those of you who want to recognize that I'm your creator and you want a social life where you can raise and take care of your wife, your children, your neighbor, your earth, your housing, your something. It has to be done Allah's way. It can't be done no other way. And then he said, why do you cling so heavily to the idea, because it's only an idea, it's only a whisper of the shaitan, that we can include everything in this world, or thinking that we can take out Islam and grow it in this polluted, corrupted environment. It ain't going to work.
Thank you, Muhammad. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
And we ask you to press one to go out and press one again when you want to make another comment or share a reflection, and we appreciate you. You're right, but the thing that Allah reminds us of is that on the battlefield of life, Satan is not going to come off in terms of his strategy to use our weaknesses to cause social problems and individual problems invited upon us to cause social, family, and societal problems. So that struggle is going to continue. And Allah, Imam Muhammad, is pointing us to a focus of a very nature-based or Mother Nature-based solution in the fact that the common man, the society as we have it now, we have this class structure that makes me feel better about myself and my position in the world above you because I'm a professional plumber. And most of the time you don't have that kind of sensitivity coming from those that work with their hands and such over the common people. A lot of the time you see lawyers, doctors, teachers, you know, with this kind of social arrogance that the Imam is cautioning us about. There's too much light, you know, and we'll read this again, that the man has to come down to the level of the common man, these professionals, and then order his society upon the nature and excellence of the common man. That's the standard. The excellence of the common man, our common humanity, is the standard. We laugh, we cry. Allah gives us this common presentation of how we come into the world, you know, as human equals. We can't speak Spanish or Mandarin or Swahili or English. We cry and we laugh, we smile. We see a common identity. So here, again, we're reading again, and it has to come to the level of the common man and then order his society upon the nature and excellence of the common man so that the society then can live in faith and trust that they like, and that's the real destiny. So though we need the light, we need the light to get to the destiny. The real destiny is to bring about the conditions where man will not be exalting himself over the people, and he will not be securing the society with wisdom, knowledge, or science. But he will secure the society upon the basis every man is equally capable of being decent and fair by each other and being trustworthy. That's the simple answer for society, and that's what Allah said. The very clear and simple matters are what they overlook and go after something big and complicated. However, the society should have been ordered in a way that every common man could understand and appreciate it, and you should have humbled yourself, quote, get down. You came from the same place everybody else did. Allah just blessed you to have the tools of knowledge, just the perception. Don't force us to live under that sun at noontime when we have to go to sleep or have to rest. Praise be to Allah. Yes. Alhamdulillah. Should I continue with any comments? I reread that the real destiny is very important.
We have a return caller on the line. If you're ready to receive him, Brother Michael.
Okay. All right. Yes. Muhammad, is that you? Is your mic closed?
Yeah, appreciate the help. Alhamdulillah, I always forget. When we look at the history of Musa and the Hijra that Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made from to Medina and et cetera. But also when we look at what Imam Muhammad said, you know, Imam Muhammad is teaching what you said right now, the common man. We also had that experience when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad came on board by Allah's permission, the common people. And we have found out that every time there comes a movement toward purification or to a better understanding of how to worship Allah, It's the businessmen, scholars, it's the property owners. Of the most of them refused to go. But when Imam used that type of language, it was to free us, because it is the people in the religion that is blocking the way to come out of this horrible, horrible, horrible reality that we're in, and invite all to what is good and forbid what is wrong and establish our share of the dominion. It's not nobody outside of Al-Islam. It's the people inside of Al-Islam that is holding up the progress that we all are seeking. And if you listen to what Imam Muhammad said, if you listen to how the businessmen and the owners who left with Musa, they all, some of them turned around. Some of them know when he's up in the mountain, they went and conspired against him and went back to their old ways. We know that when Prophet Muhammad made it from of Mecca, that the businessmen wouldn't leave because of the cattle they own, the stores, the property that they own, etc. And then Imam Muhammad echoed that when he came about with the definition of autonomy. Which, you know, he was saying, y'all follow your individual ways and see what it gets you, you know, and see how it's going to make you want to be over the common man and woman and keep them as slaves, as hostages, against what Allah tell the Jews. Do you tell the people to do something that you don't do? Do you know that there's very few business?
Thank you. Thank you, Muhammad.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
I said that.
Yeah, and press one again to come back into the queue. You're exactly right. And what I see in these Ramadan sessions, Imam Muhammad is showing us the language and the attitude so that we can identify one another in terms of believers focused on working together for social establishment, for community life establishment, for better family life, et cetera, et cetera. The sharing that he's doing here, the giving us a clearer light of the Quran, the Quran logic, the Quran narratives, the Quranic questioning that Allah puts before us, that enables us to see the bigger patterns within creation itself that shine light on our life and our moving into a healthy and productive future.
Alhamdulillah.
The next reading, would either of you like to make a comment before we go continue on?
If you can, please.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm just, Michael? Oh,
yes.
I'm sorry. Did I interrupt someone?
No.
Okay. I'm just, my heart is touched in what you have just read. The Imam is emphasizing the appeal to pay attention, use our sensitivity to connect with each other so that it becomes clear what is commonly shared, what is commonly doable for us and will decline us from putting that unreasonable pressure, human instinct, of a common people as a clear indication of what is achievable. I really, really appreciate that. Really do.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you. Praise be to Allah. I as well. The next focus is no society that is not secured by deception. Continuing. And what works our intellect in normal hours of sleep? Trying to figure out why this world is so messed up, and it is being regulated by the wise, using the tools of knowledge that are above the heads of the common man, the regular people. So they're the ones that are depriving us, too. We can't rest because they've got a thing here that we don't understand. And they're operating from positions that are above our heads. So that's why we can't rest. And believe me, I don't know of any society that is not secured by deception. The security of this society is deception. About the common man, democracy and all that, but they don't trust that to secure society. Deception is to secure society. But it's better than those that use nothing but deception and use no democracy. Yegshaha, the next focus, Yegshaha, spiritual influences. This term Yegshaha, it's a covering, but we should understand this covering is a covering that is intangible, covering its influences, spiritual influences, and they can be a good night or a bad night. The world that practices uses deception to secure the order that they have for society. What they're using to secure it is intangible tools. They're using intangible, not tangible. Allah wants us to use intangible too, because Iman, Bil-Ghaib, is intangible, isn't it? Respect for the human word that God put in all of us, the equal potential, a factor in all of us, that's intangible. These are abstracts we're talking about, and it is a spiritual bonding. Once we accept it, we have a spiritual bonding between each other, faith in each other, trust in each other. That's a spiritual bonding. So this is the covering. And before the dawning in the world, as we understand it, there was a paradise, wasn't it? We were in the paradise, the garden. And the covering there was our taqwa. Taqwa, wasn't it? And it is also is an intangible, right?
Yeah.
Next focus. Taqwa, best clothing. So actually, we were in a darkness. We were covered by a darkness in the beginning. Our protection was a darkness, symbolically speaking, in the beginning. It was our taqwa. What we had originally that the devil caused us to come out of, taqwa. That's intangible clothing, and it is also a condition for the behavior that requires no evidence. Taqwa just keeps us behaving correctly without enlightenment, light of the world. Next focus is the question. I have a question. I think it will tie into this in Surah 6 and 76. It has here about Abraham, how the night covered over him and he saw a star. And he said, quote, this is my Lord, unquote. Now the word he uses here is falamna jannah, unquote. And I want to ask you, what is the difference between jannah, yaksha, and libah in terms of this covering right here? They translate this as cover, this night that covered Abraham. And why is it Jannah, Imam Muhammad? That was his choice to use covering. But I don't know. If I were translating, I doubt if I would use covering. I probably would use overpowered him, unquote. And further, and when the night overcame him, unquote, or overpowered him, unquote, when the night became the dominant influence, not the day, you see, but covering is okay too. The word itself to me and I'm not just thinking about this now. I studied that. The word to me says has reference to the distinctive or intuitive urge or instrument for man. Next focus, connection with the garden or with the jinn. The day invites us to use our rational faculties, right? And the night makes us inclined to reflect, and we start using our spiritual faculties, if we can call it faculties, that makes us reflect, and we look for other meaning in things. We look for a purpose behind things, a purpose above and behind things, a cause that is superior and separated from, and yet a cause for this that we are in. In other words, you look for divine reasons. What was the divine purpose, cause for things? Abraham was under the influence of his spirituality, and under the influence of his spirituality, he then wanted to know the divine cause, purpose, behind all these things. So he began questioning the things that operated in his life and represented the forces and influences over his life to see which one is God. Because, you know, the word Jannah, the word itself, you know, when Moses saw the fire, the same word is used. But this is one. Give me the word exactly as it reads again. Jannah, all right? Jannah there, I would think, would cause us to try to make either one or another connection. That is, either with the garden or with the jinn. Next focus. It's so new. Yeah. It's Takwa. Would you like to make a comment?
Yes, I would.
Got a couple of people.
Okay. This is really enlightening, bringing us light.
That's what it's for.
Yes. And to better understand the common things we experience every day, but we may not know what's significant to hook to them, right? And if we are diminished in any way in that capacity, that connection capacity, it may be a cause to limit our ability to reconcile that needs reconciling, right? But in the words, connection with the garden or with the jinn, clearly, I had a conversation earlier with my son-in-law, and he was asking me questions. And just in my, you know, we mothers, we tend to generate from our it's the intuitive, but just mother wit. Something inspires us, grabs us, and like the circumstances that are being questioned, pulls it out of us, right? And people know that this is typically a behavior that they can expect from a mother or a grandmother. It's not that she has a written plan or anything, but there's a sense that is enlivened, and she just speaks it, right?
Yeah.
You know, and it ends up giving great benefit to those who, like Abraham, were questioning, wanting to understand something,
and not afraid to ask, Grandma, what's this? I never will forget my 18-month-old granddaughter. She was looking at her little cartoon videos one morning, and I was sitting with her, and it was Dora the Explorer. She loved Dora the Explorer. She was 18 months old, and she could operate the monitor and put it in, et cetera. But she turned around to me and said, Grammy, Grammy, I had an idea. There was a connection that she made between the problem solving little Dora was doing in the cartoon. And Dora used to always, the theme of the story was that she was a thinker. And whatever problems occurred in her little environment, she would utilize her thinking as a way to figure out what she needed to do. And when my 18-year-old granddaughter turned around and said to me, you should have seen the look on her face, Michael, Grammy, I had an idea, as a wonderful revelation inward of her that she could use her mind to figure things out. And so I asked her, I'm apologetic at this, I asked her, I said, you did? I said, what was your idea? And she looked at me with the most puzzled look on her face. And she said, Grammy, I didn't say I knew what it was. I just said, I had an idea. And that taught me a big
How old was she?
18 months. She was not 2 years old. 18 months.
What?
But she had had her mother and father. Her father was in college because they were students. They were lived on the campus of a college. And her mother was a stay-at-home mother. So she was constantly talking, you know, to her children and guiding, just doing the motherly things, right? So they were real advanced in their language capacity. 18 months old, I'll never forget that.
Praise be to Allah. We've got a couple of callers. We've got Bilal Abdullah, and we've got a recall from Brother Muhammad in Columbus. Welcome. State your name and where you're calling from.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. This is Bilal from New Orleans.
Alaykum assalam. Welcome.
Alhamdulillah. We thank Allah for being wise.
Bilal, please get a little closer to your phone.
We thank Allah for being wise enough to realize that we are in need of his help and his support. And at the same time, we want to be the example like Prophet Muhammad was, and we have to go out there and serve humanity. And in this day and time, they are very much in need of a mercy. We feel the stress, but Allah is blessing us that we have been given the tools to be successful in our mission, to serve the people condition. It is a poem I wrote and I'd like to share. Prophecy shouldn't be a mystery. Look at what occurred in the global streets. Serve Allah and become a visionary. A lot of complex issues are causing stress. You feel the hurt of the masses, but they're refusing God consciousness. Our perceptions are clear because of the choice we made. We know that this is keeping us safe. So for better results, let's pick up the pace. There's so much evil in the world today. We are still responsible, but we can't waste a lot of time. The world is controlling their mind. We can't give them faith, no matter how much we want to. Our good deeds causes us not to lose. Our global destiny has us focused on building institutions that we and they need. of his souls and intellect know that it's not easy to establish peace. Pray and work and never stop. Remember, the victory belongs to Allah. Once again, our intellect is striving to be the best. God is helping us pass life tests. Struggle hard not to get upset. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Thank you, Bilal. Wonderful. Praise be to Allah. And like I told you, Bilal, the nature of cultural expression, like spoken word, poetry, it has its way of bringing down barriers because of it's just a natural attraction to to language that speaks to the soul, you know? And the better part of the soul transfers that to the thinking mind. And it has a way of dealing with what they call cognitive dissonance, you know, the cultural expressions that we have. You know, it's just so important. It's so valuable a tool in terms of our inviting humanity to the excellence that's already inside them that God put there, and letting them know, well, you can take it or leave it. God has no, there's no pressure. You know, you can either seek God's help and the benefit from his help in terms of navigating life, or you can try to do what you've been doing and see how that works. Any other comments? Brother Hamid.
He's a good example, Michael. He's a really good example to me of what we've been talking about, the common sense.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And he's translating. You know, yeah. He's a common man, but he's showing a professional. And a professional only means that, you know, this is your work and you're giving a lot of attention and discipline to your work. And so thereby his attention to words and their meaning and the sensitivities and sensibilities of words, his attention given to that, he's translating these ideas that the Imam talked about as being, you know, the light and enlightenment. He's translating them in such a wonderful way that, all praises due to Allah, in such a wonderful way that the everyday man and woman can get benefit from it.
That's right.
It leaves nobody out, you know. If you got walking around sense, you can get this. If you got walking around sense, you can get it. We're going to bring Muhammad back in. Muhammad, welcome back.
Yeah, assalamu alaikum. I don't think you want me on the hook.
Alaikum assalam. Yeah, well, 5 by 5.
Okay, I thought you were here. Okay. I was just, when you were talking about intangible and intangible, you know, we know in the taqwa, there's doubt in taqwa, because you got to remember that. But when you do dhikr, you know, it's affirmed, tangible and intangible, in the oneness that Allah has created to be. Because he answered du'as. He answered all du'as. So that's a tangible. But in it, if you're not sincere in your du'as, you get the intangible, because you're looking somewhere else for what you just made du'a for. The covering part that the man was talking about, you know, he kind of pointed towards that, you know, when the enlightenment hits you, especially in the mind, it'll make you see darkness. Or if you see it in the sunlight, you know how the sun hits you in your face, you bow down and look for darkness. The brightness of terror, you condition yourself to see where it's coming from and how it's affecting you. So when Ibrahim was going through that enlightenment, you're trying to find what was he seeing now in his mind was so bright. And then he went looking for those answers, you know, and he seen it wasn't the sun, he seen it wasn't the stars, he seen it wasn't the moon, and that's what he came to the conclusion, you know, of the clarity that he seen in his mind was something altogether different, you know, and it must be coming from Allah, the creator, You know, so we want to kind of remember those things, because Imam, he's only following the guidance of the Quran, and he's applying it to us in a way to where we can think about what he's saying and get a deeper meaning. I think the other part you were talking about was
Jannah. Right.
You had some kind of way connected with fire.
Well, we're getting
ready to go into that. Yeah, okay, well, because I know that was a sign that a lot of people seek the false light of what we call Jannah, like the Prophet Muhammad said, that he was so worried about us because we was going to the wrong light, you know, like moths going to a flame, you know.
Yeah.
So when we look deeper into that, we because the real name for that is Jannah, not Jannah.
Well, let's go a little deeper. Thank you.
Right, what it was out.
This focus is connection with the garden or with the jinn. Let's see here. Let me close this mic. Okay. The day invites us to use our rational faculties, right? And the night makes us inclined to reflect, and we start using our spiritual faculties. If we can call it faculties, that makes us reflect, and we look for other meanings in things. We look for a purpose behind things, a purpose above and behind things, a cause that is superior and separated from, and yet a cause for this that we are in. In other words, you look for divine reasons. What was the divine purpose, cause for things? And I think that's what it means that Abraham was under the influence of his spirituality. And under the influence of his spirituality, he then wanted to know the divine cause, purpose behind all things. So he began questioning the things that operated in his life and represented the forces and influences over his life to see which one is God. Because, you know, the word Jannah, the word itself, you know, when Moses saw the fire, the same word is used. But this is one. Give me the word exactly as it reads again. That's Jannah, all right? Jannah there, I would think, would cause us to try to make either one or another connection that is either with the garden or with the jinn. And yes, I did repeat that paragraph. Next focus, his soul knew his taqwa. Really, if we make a connection with either one, the garden or the jinn, I think the meaning could be found that we want. If we make the connection with the garden that man was put in, then it's saying that man was originally made God conscious, and he was not yet blessed to have vision in the world of materialism. But he was made God conscious, and God gave him a material world, a natural, pristine, beautiful, virgin world, and it was very satisfying for him. So now, he's in that state again. Abraham wants that state again, and his spirituality influences him. His spirituality covers him and overcomes him from the day, or overcomes him. And in that state, he wants to know who is his God, because he's back in the state he was in when he was in paradise. And in paradise, in that state, he had knowledge of his God. His God had created him and instructed him. If he wants to find his God, what we're talking about, the taqwaha and the fujuraha can be seen in this too. He was in the day with his fujur. And then he, in order to improve his life of the day, he needed to have a night, a reflection, or retreat back to his taqwa, but he was not knowing his taqwa. However, his soul knew his taqwa. He didn't, but his soul knew his taqwa. So his soul put the covering over him. The soul put the covering of night over him so he would come back into a situation that would enable him to find his taqwa away from the influences of his fujur, the day activities. Next focus. Moon symbolic of man and his urges. If we use jinn as the reasoning, Allah created the jinn and men and created the jinn before he created man, right? They lead to the same conclusion. That's what I'm saying. Either reasoning will lead us to the same conclusion. The numbers are very important for these verses. I don't see the importance of numbers in every verse, but I'm sure it is with some verses. Right away, I see a number. This is really a progression here. The progression from 1 to 10 here. The second is the moon. The first one is the sun. If anybody has a question, let me know. I believe most of you understand that the first one should be the sun. And the second one is the moon. Though that's the man. That's the male. Moon is not any man. It's symbolic of the man and his urges. Isn't mama warm and papa cold for most of us? Papa's treatment most of the time is cold. Papa's help is weak. Mama's help is strong and understanding and everything for most of us. Now, there's an exception. Some of us had the father just like perfect mothers. The fathers all combined into one. Next focus. Fourth one is environment. And the third one is the day for activities. The day is for vision and activities. And the fourth one, I'm talking about numbers. Keep your mind on numbers. The fourth one now is the night. And I mentioned earlier, usually when you have four, it's talking about the environment. So how are we going to have security in the environment? We must have the night that Allah gives us in order to have security in our environment. And it's the fourth. And they shroud the house in the black. I think that's the Kaaba shrouded with the black covering. And the house is a place of security, each other there. Next focus. Fifth one is firmament. The fifth one is the sky. They say firmament, quote, the firmament and its wonderful structure, unquote. But why does he choose to use wonderful, unquote, and not use, quote, what or how, unquote? Because ma means what or how. It's because he wants to give whoever did this or decided upon this translation, he wants to make sure that the English person has absolutely no help to get understanding from the Arabic. I'm convinced of that, and this is a problematic concern. That's my language. I'm convinced of that. You see, the way he chose the language, he wants the English person to get no help from Arabic so that the Arabic-speaking people will only get it. You know? Yeah, I'm shaking my head. You know, if you had used, quote, mad, unquote, like this in the expression, quote, oh, how beautiful she is, unquote, or man, or pardon me, or mad, can be used like that to say wonderful, but you don't translate it like he did here. Wonderful structure is not an adjective. You can use wonderful if you put how before it, or, pardon me, oh, how wonderful, mad, whatever. You can use that, like we say, mashallah. That expression, that's an example then of mad, quote unquote, is followed by an expression. It introduces excitement, mashallah. And you know, if you translate it literally, what does it mean? It means what God wills. That's all it means, what God wills. Mm-hmm. What God wills. But you express it as excitement, and it means, oh, how wonderful. We say here, quote, and the sky and its structure, unquote, Quranic expression. And we put mad, M-A-A, we put mad for it, quote, how wonderful is its structure, or, quote, how wonderful it has been constructed or built, unquote. And another way to read it, how it is structured, how it has been built, structured. We know because ha, quote, unquote, is on it here. It is the noun form, but by reasoning, these languages don't have the same rules. The grammar in English and in Arabic, they don't have the same rules. So you sometimes have to change the part of speech to get the right meaning. I actually saw bad intentions. I read bad intentions. They are just trying to get rid of me, get this into a situation that they can manage. Don't think they're not listening to what I say. They listen to everything I say and make effort to get everything I say. They're going to try to get this right here. They know I'm having a retreat with you all. They're not going to be satisfied until they find out what happened.
I'm the next focus.
Could I interject something? Yes, please. Go ahead. Absolutely.
Alhamdulillah. This is, ooh, Imam Muhammad. What a blessing. What a blessing. This translation Alhamdulillah.
Yes,
what
ma'am.
Is it? Okay.
I was just smiling so that Imam is on top of it. It's more than just Quran. Yes. And the sunnah of the prophet that he's given us.
Yes, thank Allah. We thank Allah. Because many, we come mostly to this clueless, as they say. And Allah is so merciful to have given us one who he clued in.
Mm. Yes.
But when you were reading about the term ma, right? And remember when Imam Muhammad was encouraging us to, at the time that if we were inclined to change our name, he published a name book and their meanings in English. And he suggested that we go through the book to look for a name that fit us, but that we not rely on our knowledge. We didn't have any knowledge of Arabic, much knowledge at that time. But he as you go through the name, he said, Allah will strike you. He will give you some type of indication as to whether the meaning fits you. And remember, Imam Muhammad brought us into the study, positioned us to understand that words make people. They actually construct. And so to be aware of trading off a name that we may not have known was really insulting and diminishing our character growth, that we could select an Arabic name that would bring a benefit to us.
So I was going down the list, and there were several names. They were kind of good, and they kind of talked about something I felt was a blessing and a strength. But I came to the name Mahasen, and I just liked the sound of that. So I looked at the meaning, and it said, oh, how beautiful. It said that it was an Arabic acclamation, form of speech, you know, that you exclamation, right? I said, well, if I take that name and people understand this meaning of it, I said, I'm inclined to build a cadre of enemies because they might think that I took that name because of what it said. Oh, how beautiful. So I said, no, I don't want that name. I like the way it sounds, but I don't want people to associate that meaning with me. And then on the next level sentence down, it gave a second explanation. And that was, who strive for excellence of mind and excellence of spirituality. And from what I knew of myself, my experience growing up, I said, that's me. That's what I want. I want an excellence of mind and an excellence of spirituality. So I took the name. Since I took the name, whenever somebody asks me what it means, they always say this. This is a phenomenon that Allah put into time. Somebody would hear me. They say, well, what's your name? I say, it's Mahasen. And then they say, oh, how beautiful. So I never had to say, when they ask me, well, what does that mean? Oh, that's a very beautiful name. I said, well, it means one who strives for excellence of mind and excellence of spirituality. So Allah relieved me of that. I never had to use that initial definition, but Allah would make the people confirm that it had that impression on them. And
Allah.
It really relieved me. Alhamdulillah. But I'm loving what Imam Muhammad, how he's explaining this.
Oh, yes.
And his,
yes, indeed.
His grasp when Allah gave him the insight to see so he could share that with us and save us. I'll stop right there.
Thank you. It's wonderful. Imam Kareem, would you like to share anything?
Alhamdulillah. That's all I have to say. Imam Waterzuddin Muhammad is sharing with us certain traps that were placed within the translation or the commentary from Yusuf Ali. I believe, you know, that, certain dispositions of mind that was intended for us to develop into. We're grateful to have our beloved Imam to identify and explain the structure, the grammatical structure of the Arabia Fusha that takes us to true meaning. I'll stop right there, my brother.
Thank you. We've got another return caller to share, but before I open up the mic, I want to say the Imam reminded us that translations into any language is not a singular individual project. In the cases of translation, generally you may have a Yusuf Ali who's out in front, who's given the recognition of the translation, and he may have pulled together individuals to help him. So we're not pointing this necessarily influence on Yusuf Ali, But the fact that there's a, I'm going to say something that the Imam shared, there is an inherent urge in human groups, ethnic groups, if you will, to compete with one another. And we see this in the history of man. And certainly in America, we see a definite social competition that has gone on and it will be going on. It's just inherent in human beings to compete. Sometimes, you know, well, in most cases, it's not outwardly shown. But when you look in terms of the behavior and moves of various peoples, we see this competitive nature there. And I stop and open up the mic for Bilal Abdullah.
Alhamdulillah, I got to share experience I went through today. I've been lacking in sleep, and I've been looking at the news, all these different catastrophes going on throughout the world. And what happened, I got, my soul got so stressed that I said, well, let me put on The Cave by Sir 18. I put that on. I couldn't get it. I put on a lecture by Imam Muhammad dealing with the other conditions from in slavery and coming out of and accepting that the thing and of a white God and how crazy that was. And Allah blessed me to do what? He blessed me to go to sleep. And then I woke up about a couple hours later. My sister came in and she woke me up and I got out. And then I came, I said, oh, I made a lot, and I said, oh, man, the program on. So now I'm on the program and I'm writing. So I got to share this poem with y'all. We are prostrating to the Lord of all system of knowledge. Our intent and spirit is good. Scripture is opening up our eyes. We must look for the wisdom in our sacred book. We have interfaith with the sincere believers of the people of the book. We are all the same in our original creation. Share with them W.D. Muhammad's perception. The believers are out of the cave. They are lives that need to be saved. The mercy of God is in us. We pray to him that one day we can totally trust. Give it all to him. Let our maintainer utilize us to solve the world problem, starting with Sally and addict. Tim, the drug dealer, South Dakota Slim, and Lil Danky the Pimp. We must truly love them. God will and plain, helping the believers to bring peace throughout the land. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. Thank you, Bilal. Alhamdulillah. And we're going to continue on. Before we continue, we've got about 9 minutes, and we're going to take a quick break.
Family, community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you, the individual, you. What is the character of you? Are you a book? Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you in all of us. I am Martha Naila Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., be there.
Peace be with you and welcome to Positive Solutions to Critical Issues, hosted by yours truly, Dr. Jamal Rashid and Instructor Henry Hasid. This program is sociologically as well as psychologically inclined with Fitzer as its base. We examine the root seed to multiple effects that impact our holistic daily lives. So tune in each and every Thursday morning from 7 to 8 Eastern Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. Thank you and have a pleasant day.
And we're back with more of Contemplations of Imam W.D. Muhammad, reading from Volume 1 of the Ramadan Session, 1993 Ramadan session. And we want to try to get in a little bit more before we can close. We're moving closely to the top of the hour, and we continue. Ramadan reading in Quran. In Ramadan, the whole day should be spent either in work or devotion to Quran. If we're not doing work, like in the community or something, we should be fasting and devoting ourselves to the Quran. So I don't mind. I could stay here to the night and break the fast, but I know it wouldn't be the best for us. We lack the means of communicating the best of what's happening in our community. We need to communicate that to everybody. What happens that's good in your immediate environment? Look at how it affects us here. If we can share with the whole community what's happening in our environment, the environment that we share all together is the whole community, all of us. So if we can share all these things, it will do wonders for our spirit and make us more productive, make us happier with each other, and make us more productive. And we don't want a Savior's Day every year. But I think we should have a big occasion that amounts to like a celebration. And it shouldn't be on me all the time. We have one coming up that's on me. That's going to be good. But we should have one every year. And not only the imam, also the progress in the community. We should celebrate our progress because you have been doing a lot. We have been recognizing, paying tribute to pioneers, to students, but now we can include institutions, projects, business development, and efforts by intellectuals or bright-minded people. Anything that sends a message to us or brings a message to us of our efforts, growth, progress, that's what we want to hear and make available too. And not only that, also jihad. We are in jihad. Some developments we feel are threatening the society, the Muslims, or threatening us. Let's mention that here. Here's a problem that we have to address. Oh, my God. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. This is what many of us have been calling upon. This is page 104 of Volume 1 in the Ramadan session. And Imam Muhammad, I'm going to be as succinct as I can. Imam Muhammad has left us documented institutional memory. There are pages upon pages of direction for our social life, for our community life. I'm going to read this again as we're concluding. We're almost at the top of the hour. Ramadan reading in Quran. In Ramadan, the whole day should be spent either in work or devotion to Quran. If we're not doing work, like in the community or something, we should be fasting and devoting ourselves to the Quran. So I don't mind. I could stay here tonight and break the fast, but I know it wouldn't be the best for us. We lack the means of community. Yes, sir.
Yes, praise be to Allah. I remember we had a large meeting, a large national gathering, and it was labeled Jubilee, a Jubilee.
Yes.
And Imam Muhammad shared with us that you find that in Jewish scripture. They would
That's
hold
right.
a Jubilee each year. And the purpose of the Jubilee was to share with each other the progress that was being made among them. The progress,
yes.
celebrating the progress that was being made among them. I see a great need for us to do that. That way we will stop hearing people coming forward, talking about we aren't doing nothing. We don't have a, our vision doesn't go that far to see what everybody is doing, but there is much great progress being made, and I do see a need for a jubilee, and we're grateful to American Muslim 360 to have the means of communicating that and all of the other mediums across this spectrum. I'll stop right there, my brother. Jubilee to you.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you. And this is important. What we're talking about is a communication that will help inspire us to further produce and to further deal with the pressing issues. He mentions at the end of this focus, he mentions jihad, you know, because there are things that are threatening us. They're threatening our family. It's threatening our community life, threatening the life of America. And we need to mention these things as the problems that we have to address. But the answer, you know, I heard it earlier today on Words Make People, a conversation, a dialogue that was given, and the question keeps coming up from various places, you know. In regards to this focus. So if we can share all these things, the environment that we share all together is the whole community. And that's the focus that we badly need. We have this idea of autonomy, you know, the local community focus. But here the Imam is saying the environment that we share all together is the whole community, all of us. So if we can share all of these things, it will do wonders for our spirit and make us more productive, make us happier with each other, and make us more productive. And we don't want a Savior's Day every year. Now see, you know, these instructions and many of these directives, many of these directives have been ignored, and it's time for men and women who are in the rear. They're not imams. They don't have, may not have any, they more than likely don't have any official position, but it's time for those knowledgeable, resourceful men and women to come forward to help those who are out in front. And this is from Imam Muhammad, quote from him. He mentioned Savior's Day. We don't need Savior's Day every year, but I think we should have a big occasion that amounts to like a celebration, and it shouldn't be on me all the time. We have one coming up that's on me. That's going to be good, but we should have one every year. Now, just a moment, Mahasan. But lastly, the Imam told us whenever we come together in your local areas or regional areas, there should be time for more than just the imams to come together, that men and women who are involved in domestic abuse, psychology, men and women that are involved in business, there should be a time allotted for you at these local or regional areas to get together, to get see one another face to face, and to hear what you're doing in those particular, I'll say, institutional areas. I'll put it that way. Mahasan, you wanted to make comment.
Well, I just wanted to confer and agree totally with you. This is so important, and I'm so happy that you took the time to mention that, because it is only in our recognition and celebration of the blessings and advancements that, number one, we get to participate in gratefulness. And there's a real strategic advantage of being grateful, Allison.
Absolutely.
Our gratitude triggers the beneficence of Allah. It's not like Allah needs us to trigger him, but he loves for his servants to ask them for what they need. right? He said, be specific. He even offers a special prayer, the Istikhara prayer. He said, get up in the middle of the night and meet me for an appointment. Allah descends to the lower reaches of the heavens so he can ask the angels, well, find me my servants who are up at night for going sleep, begging me for things that they need. He
tahajud.
Has office hours at tahajud. Yes. And he sometimes will be asleep. I've experienced this. And Allah will wake you up. It's like, excuse me, it's our appointment time. You have something on your mind or in your heart that you probably need to talk to me about. So can you get up and come into my office? You know, and it's a blessing. So when we are gratefully acknowledging the benefits that Allah has given to us, it triggers Allah to give us more. He said, that's the button you need to push, because he has ordered himself to respond by giving you more. So there's no time lost for us. We're only losing things. We're only leaving, as they say, money on the table if we fail to come together like you're suggesting and rehearse this. Last thing, I remember Imam Muhammad saying of clarifying what we should be doing at iftar time from the Ramadan. He says people come to the iftar with their little hanky tied around their neck, you know, getting ready to feast, right? And really it results in overeating. We end up making ourselves sick because we think we have to compensate for the fasting we've done during the day. He said, no. He said, your focus at iftar should be to get your meal, to break your fast, and while you are eating it, talk and ask the question, what did Allah do for you today? With the expectation that every day of Ramadan, Allah will show us something, provide us with something we weren't expected or that we have a dire need for. And we should share that with each other to impact the fact that Allah is attentive. If we remember him, what did he say? He said, I will remember you. So I'll stop right there.
Now, we're at the top of the hour. We're 6 minutes over, but we want to ask the callers that have their hands raised to be brief. You've already spoken, so we're going to ask you to be brief, and then we'll make closing remarks from our co-host. 706, Muhammad, welcome back.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I just wanted to say that what we're talking about, we need Lake another Mountain, opportunity or event. Remember that? If you remember in the beginning how important our Eid al-Adha celebration was. All the farmers, everybody in different locales, they brought out the best of what they had been blessed to grow that year, to share the business idea with each other. They had the bizarre atmosphere about it. People came and brought their hardware, the new businesses that was in, and they gave those who were coming also to participate in the largest celebration of getting back to the basics of our way of life. You know, we have two holidays. We need to perfect them. Perfect them first before we go outside and establish something that, like Allah said, that pleases the people. But you haven't even pleased him yet by establishing the pillars of Islam, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, in the days that he has gave to us to be sacred. So if we put the
Muhammad,
time in there.
Muhammad,
I'm sorry.
It's clear. Thank you. It's clear what you said needs to be better utilized. But this is in black and white direction from Imam Worth B. Muhammad back in 1993. So if we can share all these things, it will do wonders for our spirit and make us more productive, make us happier with each other, and make us more productive. And we don't want a Savior's Day every year. But I think we should have a big occasion that amounts to like a celebration. It's clear. It's in black and white. Yes, it'll fitr, it'll adha, but we need the socializing energy of coming together. And I'm going to say the imam mentions one time a year, but here he's also mentioned our coming together to not just break bread together, but to communicate in a way that we share our productive energy, what we're going, we enliven our spirit, share our productive works with one another, to inspire those others in the group. Ideas, you know, are stimulated in this kind of coming together and meeting. And so it's to our benefit to do this directive, and it's to our detriment. Stagnates us, it holds us back when we don't follow the directions of the leader that is designed to see, help us to see strategically how to establish ourselves here in the land of plenty, United States of America. So final comments from Imam Hamid and Mahasan. We want to make a final comment and close out.
Yes, thank you, yes. Michael. Give the greetings to our listeners, and I won't make any more comments, but what an enjoyable session this has been.
Praise,
thank Allah.
Praise be to Allah. Thank Allah. Thank you. Imam,
yes. Yes, sir. I would like to invite the American Muslim 360 audience to join us tomorrow. Join us each Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an episode of MAP 5. That stands for Muslim American Power of Five, with Sister Amatala Alaji Sabri, Brother Fleming El Amin, and the Honorable Cheryl Shadu, and guests for a discussion on our obligation as Muslims to transform our faith into action through proactive civic engagement and examining our role as Muslims in establishing a more ethical and just society. So join us for the broadcast of the Muslim Action Power of Five at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tomorrow, inshallah. Wonderful broadcast, Michael and Mahasan. I am grateful for y'all. Praise be to Allah.
Praise be to Allah. And dear listeners, in conclusion, we want to make a supplication, a dua to Almighty God. Allah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. O Allah, we cannot manage this life for ourselves, not without you. Make our life what you want it to be, what you prefer it to be. Do not allow us to act on our own. Help us to act only in obedience to you. We hear and we obey. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. Thank you for joining us. Join us next week.
Wa alaikum assalam.